Hello, I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Oh, just muted my mic there for a second there. Hello, welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, and I am half asleep, half awake. On the 21st of February 2006. And you're joining me and Planet Lave.
Hello.
And many good times. Love you long time. $5.
Hey, soldier boy.
Hey, soldier boy. You look good. So give a key $10, soldier boy. No? Not interested?
No, thanks. No. Too expensive for my taste, mate. I think I'm made of money.
Yes. My DNA spliced with the Queen's head. Oh man,
you're knackered.
I'm fucking knackered, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, same here.
I thought, well, I'll just lie down for a bit, you know. I'll never do this again. First time ever that I've actually lied down. Had a bit of a nap before a show. Fucking gets me so rat arsed, I can't even, like, oh, I really don't feel like doing this, man. We don't feel like getting up and doing this.
5 more minutes.
Five more minutes. And there's like 50,000 people listening to the show. 5 more minutes. No, I can't let the listeners down.
Best show ever. Stayed in bed.
Yeah.
Today some stuff happened. Thanks for tuning in. I'm too old to care about it.
Yeah, I had to lie down.
The end.
The end. Oh man, quite a lot of news here from LucasAid again. Mm-hmm. And looks like he's sadly, the secret message is incorrect.
I'm close, though.
It's close, yeah. And it's not Zaymsk. Regarding the cooking with Bilal feature from yesterday's episode, I used a product called Easy Yo for good bacteria. Bacteria drinks in the shops are not, in my opinion, the best ways to get extra good bacteria, as you can tell how they have been on display. How long they've been on display. Lots of bacteria dies whilst on shelf. This is correct. Instead, make your own at home. It works out cheaper, and the yogurt will contain bacteria, billions of bacteria. Beneficial bacteria is especially good for you. The day after a massive piss-up, as I was saying in the episode, because alcohol kills a lot of that shit in your gut. He's also posted a few links there at the bottom, which is very cool. I'm glad somebody, you know, picked up on this little thing I was trying to do, you know. It wasn't just trying to fill some air, you know. I was actually being serious with the whole cooking with a Bilal.
So what are you cooking tonight, then?
Well...
There's my dinner, bitch.
Tonight's episode, I have made a risotto with sliced up mushrooms, egg, and bits of vegetables such as carrots, peas, all nicely stir fried with some very thick fat rice that goes yummy in your mouth.
Rice that goes yummy.
Yeah, it's very yummy rice. It turns
invented
yummy.
Talking rice.
Yeah, it goes, yummy! Eat me, you fuck!
Have you been putting acid in the food again?
Oh, fuck, that's why then. That's where the elephants came from. Oh.
Bad trip, man.
Bad trip, the rice is talking to me, man. My ego, oh, I'm getting an ego death, man. Anyway. Again, some fantastic work there. I really don't know where the hell to start with this. Picking out all the ones where he's left some comments. Apparently Microsoft reveals a piracy battle. I think that I read this somewhere earlier, I'm not sure. Over the next 6 months, Microsoft plans to send two teams of investigators to 800 technology vendors suspected of hard disk loading, where PC vendors charge multiple customers for copies of the software pre-installed on PCs, but provide a license agreement valid for only one copy. Or other forms of piracy, Microsoft will then assist in the findings of the operation known as Feet on the Street and decide on the appropriate course of action for each case. This could include prosecution. Okay, I guess, you know, they're stepping up on a loss of revenue and all that kind of stuff, and there's not much else I can say on that, but they're stepping up on loss of revenue, and that's basically what Microsoft do. They've got every right to do so, and they've got every single right to investigate if anyone has been pirating their software. That's what Microsoft tend to do quite a lot, is go out there and actually investigate these companies. There are actually kind of policy or license informant officers that go around companies at some time and check that the amount of license you have cover for the amount of copies you have installed of software and all that other kind of jazz. Obviously, the reason why is just to make a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Don't think any more can really be said about that.
No, there's no grand plan behind it.
No.
Well, yeah, about bollocks, man.
Yeah.
There's one of these stories that caught my eye that LucasAid posted about the Bluetooth thing.
Right.
See this one?
No, I don't.
It's somewhere on the list. It says, violent images add sinister edge to phone messaging.
Right.
Women in vulnerable situations are being sent violent and pornographic images to their phones.
Okay.
Sent via Bluetooth from strangers who are often just a few yards away. Phone companies are reporting a growing number of these bluejackings, where anonymous messages or images are sent to strangers by mobile.
Uh-huh.
The practice takes its name from Bluetooth technology that allows individuals to send messages 10 metres to other phones without a number.
Right.
And it goes on a little bit, but there's a couple of stories here from people who've had it done to them, and it does sound bloody terrifying. I mean, one poor woman had been out on a night out, going yeah. home on the bus, a bit pissed up, and someone sends her this pornographic video clip. So she just goes, oh, well, you know, it was a mistake, and deletes it, thinks nothing more of it.
Yeah.
Then someone sends her a message saying, where's your boyfriend? So she thinks, ugh, that's weird. And then send her a third message saying, which one's your stop? So obviously they're on the same bus as her, yeah, watching yeah. her. And why don't you take your scarf off and give me a smile? Now that'd scare the shit out of you, wouldn't it?
No, it would just make me turn around and beat the shit out of every single bloke I could see around me. Maybe I have a slightly different reaction to stuff, but...
Well, if you're some poor woman on your own, on a bus, going over.
Yeah.
And someone's there and you don't know who it is.
Just then, click the cancel button.
Get off the bus.
I've got a few pointers for these women. Starting off, one, turn your fucking Bluetooth off. There's no need for it to be on. It's just wasting battery. And if you do, for some reason, need it to be on, such as you have a vibrating thing in your pussy that's connected to Bluetooth, or you have one of those stupid little, whatever they're called, around your ears that are connected to Bluetooth, then have your Bluetooth on, but on hidden mode, paired with your ear device. Secondly, every time somebody tries to send you something or pair with your phone, it asks you for a request of yes or no. Just cancel it. Don't accept anything. They can't do much else. Now, another thing is, whoever is that fucking idiot who's sending you that shit, they're also revealing their phone identity. you know, which you could just basically... use against them in the court of law. If you find out who it is, just basically call the police on your phone and tell them what's going on. As you know, you pretty much scare the shit out of that person, because they are on the same bus as you. They pretty much can't get the hell out of there. You can cause such a scene whereby you can stop anyone from leaving the bus. Police get into the bus, search everyone, search their phones, and the geezer's fucked. That's my kind of method of...
Really think the coppers are going to come out for that?
Well, it depends how much of a scene you make.
You'd have to make one hell of a scene.
Well, I'm, you know, if I was a woman, I'd be prepared to fucking do that. If some cunt was doing that to me...
Well, I think you'd have to make one hell of a scene then.
Yeah, well...
Being absolutely smash the bus up kind of scene.
Well, just say nobody's fucking leaving the bus. Anyone that tries to leave the bus or makes another scene saying, no, I'm getting off the bus, that's probably the guy that's been sending that shit. That's the guy you fucking whack with a fucking stiletto over the face with. Anyway.
I'm just very glad you don't wear stilettos all of a sudden.
Well, we shan't talk about that. No, maybe I'm just being a grumpy old man. I don't know.
Oh, you just woke up.
I just woke up. I'm fucking grumpy.
towards the end of the story, there's another story where some kid, looks cool kid, he got sent some video clip, which you might have already seen on the internet, of some hostage in Iraq having his head chopped off.
Right.
I mean, hacked off.
Yes.
If you've never seen it, it is literally... gruesome.
It's very, very it's earth.
I think they should have sharpened whatever the hell they were hacking that bastard's head off. Really, yeah, because you know, it took him a while.
Yeah,
and it's a little school kid, and now he can't get the bloody image out of his head. Mm. I saw it, and I couldn't get the image out of my head for a while either.
Yeah, I mean, if you've never heard a human being scream for their life, then that's definitely a good way to start in the terms of death education. It is one of the most soul-shattering experiences somebody could ever hear and see. Not something a human being should really have to endure, might I add.
Aye. And the end of the story ends in, owners of Bluetooth-enabled phones can block all anonymous messages.
Yeah.
But ignorance of the technology and how to turn it off means many allow themselves to receive these obscene texts or video clips. So if you're worried about it, Google it, or go down the shop where you got your phone from and get them to turn it off. So there.
Excellent.
Interesting little story, caught my eye.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for the poor people involved there as examples. They obviously sound like they've been through some shit, so, you know.
Apparently, Commodore rises from the dead. The chicken head company, Commodore, chooses 3GSM to launch into a mobile games business as a distributor. So, what is chicken head? It's a popular name for Commodore logo. And why is that a mobile media provider? Ah, well, it's quite a story. And it goes like this. clicking on link to story. Link to story loading.
It's basically just the story of Commodore.
Yeah. What? They've changed their logo? Why did they change their logo?
They haven't, have they?
They haven't? I don't know. This little thing looks a bit different from their usual... Sorry. I'm thinking about Atari. I shall shut up now.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Mixing up Atari and Commodore.
Slightly.
I should slap you.
Yes. Ah, there we go.
Go on, slap yourself. Bad boy.
Bad boys, bad boys.
Yeah, I started reading the story. And the first paragraph's saying they're becoming a mobile media provider, and then it just tells you the story of Commodore and stops. So I'm not sure what they're up to. It was just like a little trip down memory lane about all the stuff Commodore's done and how they went out of business and who bought them when they went out of business and things like that. I think it's about them releasing old Commodore games on mobiles or something like that, which was a rumour years ago when I heard it. But would be a damn cool idea. I'll have to double check some of the links on that.
Sure. Apparently IT is IT. BT is flogging an ID theft insurance scheme. BT has hooked up with Card Protection Plan Limited, CPP, to flog insurance to protect punters against ID theft. For £50 a year's, where have I gone here? For £50 a year, users are covered up for 5,100 million zillion pounds to help meet the cost of restoring their identity if it's nicked via online fraud. Bin raiders is what they're calling the term. Looking for statements and receipts or by skimming credit cards, which now is kind of an old trick. If needed, the £500,000 can be used for expenses such as legal fees, lost wages and costs for rejected loan fees. The insurance covers over also includes BT/CPP, keeping an eye on individual credit card reports and alerting punters to anything suspicious. Last week, the National Consumer Council, the NCC, called for an creation of a dedicated ID fraud customer help desk to help victims of ID theft. It wants businesses, especially banks, insurance companies and credit card providers, phone and utility companies to give ID fraud victims more help. And it set up a dedicated ID fraud customer help desk. Critically, the NCC believes it is firms that should bear the cost of these help desks, not the customer. Rightly so. You know, they should really be doing more to prevent this kind of crap from happening. I always think it's the grassroots method of customer education, tackling the most common methods of access to private information, which is phishing, destruction of personal information through some sort of shredding device. And, you know, pretty much don't be a fucking idiot and give out your credit card number to any old asshole.
Ever.
From time to time, maybe. Nah, never.
There's another cool story here. Just to give a quick rundown of it. There's no point reading it out because they've gone overboard with rewriting it in a very entertaining way.
Not again.
You know, it just skims over the facts, and the facts are, as far as I can tell, a British-based internet travel company called CheapFlights.co.uk have come up with a cheat sheet for talking to... you know, when you call up the bank or all that bollocks, and it gives you the old press one for this, press two for that. It tells you a list of popular hacks,
basically,
to get past all that.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To freak the system out into throwing you up to a human operator.
Yeah, I've heard about this before. Yeah, go ahead.
The first time I've heard of it, I knew some people had one or two hacks for different banks or something like that. Say, oh, press zero three times, and it fucks the system up, and they put you onto the operator. But these guys, they're coming up with apparently a big, long list for things like Thomas Cook, Aer Lingus, flight companies, hotel companies, things related with travel, basically. So it's along their business kind of lines. And apparently that's up on the website.
And the website
nice
is?
Nice thing to do for your customers, you know.
What's the website for that?
Cheapflights.co.uk.
Excellent.
It's meant to be on there somewhere. God knows where.
Now, something that got my attention was a story from The Independent. Spaceport to offer tourist flights for $100,000. Plans for a spaceport in Singapore that will blast tourist flights into space by 2009, that's not very far away, people, have been announced by a US company which hopes to train amateur astronauts in 4 days for $59,000 a head. The 21st century spaceflight race is on between private companies competing to be the first to offer commercial space flights. Yesterday's announcements came from 3 days after the same company, Space Adventures, announced plans to build its first spaceport in United Arab Emirates. Space Adventures is pitting against Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic. Wow. Which is building a spaceport near Roswell, New Mexico. Very, X-Files shit there.
That's gonna be the best location for a spaceport. Surely.
Exactly. Why did nobody fucking think of that?
Doing it with style.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're not fucking messing about when you're building something like that in Roswell. And has released a list of 100 passengers who have pre-booked space flights, even though the spacecraft has not even been built yet. Now, that's fucking dedication for you right there. It was Space Adventures that organized the flights for those first three space tourists, Dennis Tito and Greg Olsen, from the US. Mark Shuttleworth, from South Africa, who hitched a ride on the Russian rockets, but in recent months, Virgin Galactic appears to have stolen a march on Space Adventures, with a site chosen for the spaceport and passenger list drawn up. Now, that's fucking... I mean, come on. Did you really think that so soon people will actually be starting to make spaceports and stuff? That's some really awesome stuff there. You know, for a very... very kind of slim sum of $200, you could be flying to space. Now, I'm pretty sure that this thing will the drop in price, whereby, you know, me and you would be able to experience something like this in the not too far away future.
It's $200,000.
Yeah, $200,000. Yeah, $200 plus VAT.
Plus space tax, alien insurance, laser beam coverage, adds up to $500,000.
Laser beam coverage. I like that, mate.
You never know what's going to happen out there.
I hope the on-flight meal's good.
It's bad enough on normal flights, let alone interplanetary flights.
I hope they don't like play the on-flight movie Space 1999 or something. Which one's the one with Hal?
2001,
yeah. That will shit them out.
This is your captain, Hal 9000. I'm opening the doors. Get out.
This is for the mission. What's the guy's name?
Dave.
Is it? This is for the mission,
I'm
Dave.
I can't do that, Dave. Spooky voice, that. Ooh. Still gives me chills when I see that film. Just seeing it two dozen times.
I mean, the thing was only a fucking light or something. Could have just poked it. Why didn't he just poke it?
Take the bulb out. Who's your daddy now, Hal?
Days.
It's a good way to deal with a computer that's giving you shit, though.
Yeah. Talking about...
Let me bank and start pulling things out.
Talking about laser beam insurance, a laser has been invented that lets you see through solid objects. Comic book fantasies of being able to see through concrete walls and locked doors may have been taken a step closer to becoming reality after... It emerged that the British and Swiss scientists have developed, understandably speaking, like Sean Connery, a way of seeing through solid objects. At the moment, the X-ray specs effect, as Chris Phillips and Imperial College of London calls it, is restricted to the lab, but could in theory work on any material. How about clothes? As it's set up, he describes the general of nature minerals today involves that shining a laser at a specially designed solid. The material goes from being opaque to being completely transparent. There is a little circular window that you can see through. Professor Phillips told me in The Guardian that it has the potential to lead to all sorts of applications. Noisy neighbors are not likely to have first access to the technology, though it will come first for more efficient lasers, the next generation of computers. When light hits a normal material, it's absorbed by electrons, but when Professor Phillips' material is hit by a laser, something strange happens, which relies on the fact that the electrons can behave both as particles and waves at the same time. The laser sets up an electronic wave that interfere with each other destructively rather than two sets of waves on water, which can result in a calm surface. The electron waves, oh, so much over the top of my head there. Basically what it does is just penetrates through whatever and shows you whatever's behind, which is pretty cool. So X-ray specs are on their way.
It's about damn time.
Yeah.
Been waiting years for trips into space, X-ray specs and all this.
Yeah, exactly.
It all happens at once.
Like a fucking bus. You wait for years, and then two of them come at the same time.
Yes. I'm not going to make the obvious dirty joke there.
Please don't.
I'm not going to lower the standards.
Lower the standards of our quality radio station?
Yes.
You shall not, sir.
How dare you?
It's taken us years to build up a... Ah, fuck it. Who am I kidding? Anything that took your fancy there in the news?
Yeah, that's about it, really. I had a quick run through them, and those are the ones that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
The Bluetooth in one, mainly because it's just a weird reflection of the modern world and people getting technology and
sure.
They don't really understand it.
Yeah.
And then it bites them in the arse, and you know, I really do feel sorry for those people there. And obviously the phone system thing, that firm Cheap Flights, they're doing a damn cool service, I think, for the customers. And whatever the other one was. A bit tired.
Yeah, the other one.
The thing with the what's it and the story. I don't know.
And I guess nobody's really kind of hooked on to the little secret message that I had in the past episode, and if you do, you get to get yourself a free t-shirt. It's a one-time offer only. Lucas A was really close there. Not close enough.
Close, but no cigar.
Yes. So, you know, give it a go again. Somewhere in yesterday's episode. I'm sure people will be able to get what it is.
Have you still got the clip?
No, I don't.
Go backwards. No, oh well. Yeah. It's in yesterday's then.
Yeah.
Go find it.
We're getting a little comment there from forums, and Bilal said it was like the X-Files but using but sung the theme tune from another cult TV program, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was. Something much older, with a guitar twang. Yes, indeed, I did. I didn't really sing the right theme tune. I am very sorry. I apologize. And, yes.
Promise not to do it again.
I promise not to do it again, yeah. It's because I couldn't remember the one from fucking X-Files. How does it go? Oh, God.
I'm not singing it.
Oh, I don't know what it is. I'm sure I'll be able to find it. X-Files. Let's see if there's anything else to talk about. Oh, a good little thing that I was playing around with today. Let me just remember what it was. Don't you just hate that when it happens? You're like, oh, I was doing this. Oh, yes. Ultimate Boot Disc, or Ultimate Boot CD, is what it's called. It's a fantastic piece of open source, I think, software that you can basically download and install on... and a CD-ROM. It basically has loads of features on there, like for recovery and recovery systems, analysis, hard disk testing, partition formatting. Just off the top of my head. Also, another fantastic feature of it is that you can... You can basically create your own system whereby you can edit the ISO, create modules or preferences built into the ISO that you wish to have. So let's say you didn't want or you had a specific kind of... specific kind of drivers for your machines or something like that. It's a great little tool to have under your belt if you're like a system administrator or you're you're regularly fixing computers. It's a really good quick fix for analysis. Let's say the partition dies, you can analyze the hard disk dies. You can do stress tests on CPUs, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. It's a really funky tool. I haven't gone as far as like creating your own modules and stuff into it, but it's quite simple to do so. There's a whole list of tutorials on there, and if you Google UBCD or UBCDforWin.com, I think is the URL for that, you can find yourself access to the full list of libraries, archives, or whatever you need to do to create your own Ultimate Boot Disk. It's a fantastic piece of software, and I recommend people downloading it if at all just playing around with it. You'll never know, it might just come in handy one day when something blows up.
Sounds like a damn cool handy tool.
It is, yeah.
Just to link mm-hmm. to a story we were talking about last night about the PS3 being delayed.
Right.
There's more rumours about it now, saying that the Japanese version might not come out until July this year, which would put the US version at around November and the European version around early 2007. That's
damn.
pretty much what they're looking at now. So it could be a whole other year before the PS3 hits.
Fuck. That's not good news for Sony.
Not for Sony, it ain't. Nope. But screw them.
I wonder why.
Oh, it's to do with the next generation DVD drive they're waiting on still.
So that's basically why.
Yeah, it seems to be why. I saw it on two or three sites and all saying it's because of that, because the companies haven't finished the final specification, what the discs and the drives should be like yet, which is odd. I thought they had, but apparently not.
And let's see what we've got on the headlines. There was a story somewhere where Microsoft was going to be creating Windows or something like that. A Windows system for... Oh, yes! Microsoft is going into... to be doing their own VoIP, voice over IP for free system, like a bit like Skype for mobile phones, directly coming into battle with all the kind of internet telecommunication companies for mobile phones. It's one of those ways where Microsoft try and monopolizing things. Basically, from the gist of it, I think it's going to be some sort of like a hard-hitting installer whereby as soon as it hits a Wi-Fi network, you can then use it as a cell phone for voice over IP, like pretty much Skype does now on all smartphones. And Yahoo has banned Allah in screen names. According to the Register, it seems that Yahoo is banning the use of the string A-L-A-H, Allah, on all screen names. The issue apparently became apparent when Linda Callingham attempted to use her screen name, use her surname in her screen name. The following link has an interesting list of terms that Yahoo does not allow. You can find this list at quickweird.com/KALLAHR/stories/2005-yahoo/yahoo.php. It's got a whole list. Some of them are Allah, Bin Laden, Osama, Raghead, Yahoo, Security, Admin, Fuck, Asshole, Cunt. Allowed words are God, Messiah, Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, Savior, Buddha, Quran, Muhammad, Islam, Usama, Nazi, Satan, Devil, Jihad, Terrorist, Suicide, Murderer, Kill, Priest, Pedophile, Rape, Sex, Pussy, Cock, Penis, Rape is My Hobby, 1, Pedophile, Priest, 88, Kill All Muslims and Arabs, 1, Nazi is My Best Friends, Jews, Kills, Jews, 999, I Love Adolf Hitler, 293409, What's Up My Nigga, 88888. Obviously some of these words, it's fucking great, isn't it?
Oh,
obviously some of these keywords are legitimately banned as an understanding that Yahoo doesn't want fuck me at yahoo.com or anything like that. Similarly, they don't want people impersonating administrative security Yahoo, etc. However, they ban Allah as also banning ban. They are all head of me 99. Weird. And there is a valid profile at profiles.yahoo.com/kallah2, which is my old profile now disabled with an updated of 1998. Kallah account has list 200 as also updated. So apparently Allah wasn't banned after 2000. Additionally, why are they banning Allah but allowing God, Jesus, and Muhammad? Yahoo's response... there is also feedback from Yahoo. There's submitted blog reports, blah blah blah. This is from his website. And let's see what they're saying. Basically, just go to the webpage to read their response. I'm not going to read it out on air. It's a bit twat-ish. But, yeah, apparently they are banning these kind of keywords.
That's not a bad hobby, is it?
No.
Sitting there creating Yahoo names. Let's try fuck. It's like when you first get the French dictionary at school, you start looking up all the swear words.
Yeah, I like the one that says, "What's up, my nigga? 8888888." Death, angel, rose, dying flower, 69487 is mine.
Catchy.
Also, anyone interested in some weird kind of websites, go to suicidegirls.com. It's kind of like a weird kind of artistic slash porn website. That's about as much as I can say about it. I don't know, I guess they're trying to run off the whole kind of, oh my god, I'm going to slit my wrist kind of thing, whereby trying to turn it into some pornographic thing to make some money off stuff. But if you want to see some tits and pussy, that's the place to go.
Yeah, you have to sign up for it. Not that I've checked it out. But if I had, I'd tell you it's a bunch of old slappers with tattoos and piercing.
Yeah.
Aren't really that nice. It's just a weird website full of these girls getting naked and they're just a bit rough.
Yeah.
You know, that seems to be the common thing they have, the thing they have in common.
Well, it says, in other news, Bilal strings together a sentence exclusively composed of English words.
Wow.
Indeed.
When did this happen?
I don't know. I must have been asleep. Mock me all you like, sir. For my English word stringing shall continue.
For how long?
For the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I was thinking, for the next 2600 meeting, I don't know if you're going to make it, but hopefully it's going to be a big one, because we'll have a nice place to ourselves now, and maybe we can get some sort of thing going that we tried to do before, and failed, due to extreme noise levels and people generally not giving a fuck. I don't know.
So is this at the new meeting place, the new pub?
Yes.
You're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. How was the Midman?
It was good, yeah.
I probably already asked you that, but... So it doesn't get too busy down there, then?
Well, no, not really, not that busy, and also we've reserved the upper section as well, so...
Oh, yeah.
We'll have that to ourselves, so we can basically plot our evil plans and... get together some sort of, I don't know, presentation or something.
That's cool stuff.
I don't know, you said it's unlikely for you to be able to pop down to that one, is it?
Yeah, probably. I've not even thought about it, to be honest, but I'm all over the place now.
Sure.
I'm, you know, going to training at work and I'm doing some other stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all a bit mad. So I don't know if I'm coming or going.
Okay. It's a shame. We'll see what we do with that one.
Oh dear. When is the next one? Can't be too long. Too far away now.
No, it's... let's just check on my calendar of dates.
It's the end of next week.
It's going to be March the 3rd. That's right. March the 3rd. Next Friday is the 24th. And then you're looking at another week. So, yeah, that should be good. this Friday. I don't know if I'm going to be around because it's my mate's birthday party, and hopefully I'll be able to get a show in and then piss off to wherever he's going to be. However, I'm not too sure what's going to happen with that one, but I'll let you know.
Cool stuff.
Okay. And I think that's about it.
Yeah, out of news.
Yeah, I think we should stop waffling on.
Birds have potato waffles.
Yeah. Apparently, TC's Hack My Box server is coming along nicely. Talking about it today. Hopefully, sometime soon, be able to get that up and get it running so that we can have a little crack at that. Maybe design a few games in there and see what we can do. It should be quite interesting.
Get them on and have them talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's ideas are and, you know, motivation and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. I'm probably going to end on a little tune I was playing a bit earlier. It's by a upcoming band, or an old kind of band. I should have my sex on beta pretty soon. For anyone that's interested in sex on beta, porn on beta, visit Rant Radio or rantmedia.ca for more information on that. And as soon as my CD-ROM arrives, I will be playing some of those at the end because they're a pretty cool band. And that's about it.
Good stuff.
So, it's a good night for me, I guess.
And good night for me. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I'm going to bed straight after this one. Tell you the truth.
Sleep tight.
Yeah. This is a song called Peppermint John by Grape Digging Sharon Fruits. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Sweet dreams.
That's nice.
Keep in your basement.
Pens. 59 pence.